Hi folks, this is All Things Product with Petra Wille
and Teresa Torres.
And we're so happy you're here.
Hey Petra, I have a funny question for you today. Can we talk about what product ops is?
Ooh. You brought a really easy topic, Teresa. I'm not sure if I know what product ops actually is.
That's why I want to talk about it.
Yeah. So the thing with product operations, as some call it, is that I think, of course, there are books written. Melissa and Denise, for example, wrote an amazing one on product operations, and some other people have written about product ops. But so far, I haven't seen real life common ground implementation of product ops so far. A lot of the clients that I'm having are having product operations teams, and they're doing massively different things. So I'm working with an organization, for example, where the product ops team is mainly concerned about capabilities building, and the product teams are having the right skill set. So they book training and they do internal product days and they do knowledge sharing and they own the community of practice and all these kind of things. And I have other clients where the product ops team does a lot of business intelligence. So they make sure that things are trackable and that every team has a decent level of success metrics and tracking implemented in the software that they use. And in other organizations, product operations does a lot of strategy alignment, making sure that the product strategy is executed. So they do a lot of governance and overseeing the actual implementation of the strategy. That's what this product team does. So I have all sorts of product ops teams that I, to some extent, work with and am exposed to. So I'm not sure if I'm the best person to define what product ops actually is.
Okay, I wrote some things down because maybe we can figure it out together.
Sure, let's do it.
You wrote skill building. I mean, sorry, I wrote skill building. You said skill building. Business intelligence, and really you unpacked that as like tracking and analytics governance.
The quantitative stuff of user research, even to some extent.
Strategy, I'm not touching that one, but we'll come back to it. Strategy alignment, so kind of governance of strategy. I'm going to add a couple to this list. In Melissa Perry's book, Melissa and Denise's book, they talk about like one of the problems they're trying to solve is if you have all these empowered teams and they're allowed to work whichever way they want, then when they report out to stakeholders, it's chaos. So product ops can provide this like translation layer, like use whatever tool you want, but when you're reporting your roadmap, it has to be in this format. Or when you're giving an update on your OKRs, it has to be in this format. So there's sort of this like communication standards.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that to some extent. That's oftentimes something. So what I see happening a lot is the product leadership layer being massively underwater. So the product leads that usually, I always use this shipyard metaphor, right? So the product teams build the ships. The product leadership is responsible for the shipyard being in the best possible shape to support the actual teams to do whatever they need to do to build the ships. And at some point, product leadership is massively overwhelmed with all the things that they have to do to keep the shipyard in order. So they are looking for things that they can easily hand off to skilled people to help them to do some of these things. And that could be strategy work. That could be process work. It could be the stakeholder management translation layer. And there, So in some organizations, some of that is done in the agile coaching area, where the agile coaches still are really strong in running the rituals, namely the review meetings. And the review meetings is where a lot of stakeholders get their information from the teams, where in other organizations, product ops has taken over that responsibility. They're maybe not even running review meetings. They have different rituals for updating stakeholders. And then product ops does it, or, and this is, by the way, oftentimes in organizations where product operations owns the portfolio alignment layer as well. And when the teams still own the stakeholder management, then they often consult and coach them how to do this in better ways. I saw product ops teams trying to suggest ways of working discovery-wise. So we want everybody to do product discovery in a certain way. Not a fan of that, by the way. If they're really prescribing methodologies and frameworks and tools, and you only have one possible way to do product discovery, and you won't be a fan of that either, I bet. But oftentimes they have a more loosely coupled steps framework that says, like, at some point we want you to talk to users, and at some point we want you to look through the quantitative data that we have, and at some point we want you to put all of it, I don't know, in a debriefing document or something like that. And that oftentimes is really helpful to help the teams to do some, or to develop some good discovery habits.
Okay, I heard something that you said. So first of all, I added to my list tools and processes.
Yeah,
and my list
good
is
one.
Now like skill building, analytical, business intelligence, strategy alignment, communication standards. Okay, we're building a list. We're going to keep adding to it over the course of this episode. The thing you said that I really liked is there's a problem to solve here, and that the product leader, and I'm assuming by that term you mean like the chief product officer, the VP
head of product,
the head of product.
Exactly.
The most senior product person in the organization,
yes.
One person, is overwhelmed.
Yes.
Okay, so this is actually my concern with product ops. And I'm not saying product ops is a bad thing. I want to like unpack this a little bit. The very first time I heard about product ops, I remember someone described it to me as they do product strategy.
Ooh.
And I was like, what? Don't product managers do product strategy and product leaders do product strategy? I think what they meant was they do product strategy alignment. I hope what they meant was they do product strategy alignment. And then we started to get into it. And my second thought was, isn't that the product leader's job?
Yes, that's
right?
So often is the case.
So I have this challenge a little bit with like, are we just scaffolding poor product leadership? Is that what this role is about? But I don't think it's just about that. Like I have
Exactly. It's not just about that.
I have seen lots of instances where like, I know lots of individual product ops people that are amazing.
And yes, me too.
Like, the model that I can wrap my head around is in team topologies, the authors talk about value stream teams and enabling teams. And if we look at product ops as an enabling team of our value stream product teams, okay, I can see how like, just like we have platform teams that enable our product teams, maybe we need product ops to enable our product teams. But what I want to get into is like all the things that we've just listed that product ops could do, and we see product ops do, there are also people in the organization that do those things. There's other people in the organization that do those things.
Yeah, and so that's like, when it gets tricky.
So like I could have my data analysts do my quantitative governance, analytics governance. I could have my direct reports. If I'm a chief product officer, I can have my direct reports work with their direct reports all down the hierarchy of the organization to make sure we have strategy alignment, right? I could have a chief of staff that does my comms standards,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So like there's other ways, like I get that this problem is real. I get that I see lots of organizations where they use product ops to solve this successfully. But I also see other organizations use different roles to solve these same problems successfully. So here's my question. When does it make sense to do product ops versus these other roles?
Yeah. So in a coaching situation, I think it's always like, let's face it, No. So if I talk about product leadership, I have this high level structure of people, of process / ways of working, and of product success. So it is super hard for any product leader to hand off the product success part of their role, because that's that's the integral part of product leadership. As a product leadership person, I should be deeply concerned about the success of the products we build, or the product we build, depending on how many. So that's hard to hand it off to somebody. To some extent, you hand it off to your empowered product teams. But let's face it, or at least what I saw being not so helpful, if you entirely load this on your empowered product teams, that rarely works. So I still think the most senior product leadership person needs to own some of the product strategy. It could be a portfolio strategy. It could be really a thin strategic layer that then helps the teams to prioritize. But you need to provide directional clarity. Where are we headed? Why are we going there product-wise to your entire organization? So that's hard to find other people to load this responsibility on to. So this leaves us with ways of working process and the people part. And this is oftentimes where it's easier for the product leader to get help, right? And the people part could be HR. They can help you a lot with your hiring, with onboarding even. Some of the onboarding could be done in your community of practice. So this is usually what we do in coaching, that we have more than this one option, that oftentimes product ops is coming into play because somebody read about product ops, somebody heard about the role, and then companies that are... I just had a conversation at a meetup with a leader. He had like 4 direct reports, and he thought they desperately need a product operations team with 2 people. And I'm like, I don't think so. Let's unpack that.
Yeah.
So, and he was massively hiring and kind of overwhelmed with that. And HR could help him with that a lot. And then his 4 product people could help him with some of the other things. And then we were fine. So there was no need to hire product operations people. But it's usually the exercise that I do is really kind of looking at the people part. And that's mainly the hiring, the onboarding, and the personal development of product people, the coaching of product people. Super hard to hand that off to somebody else if you're product lead. I would not recommend this being your first move, and that coach your product people. I wrote books about it, so do it. And then the other part is the process and ways of working part. And this is where oftentimes I think that's easier to find skilled people that have experience in how to do some of these things, that know how to build a good product operating model for any given company, and then try to do a bit of the change management and all these kind of things. Because let's face it, not every leader has wrapped their head around communication initiatives and change management initiatives. And so this is usually how I try to help leaders to understand where it might make sense to have a product ops team. And I always think like we want to make this move when we have to and not too prematurely.
Yeah. Okay. So first of all, I want to back up to something I said earlier and explain it a little bit. When it said it feels like we're scaffolding poor leadership, I don't mean the leader is poor.
Yeah.
Right? The leader's overwhelmed. So there's gaps
too busy
that we have to fill. They're too busy.
Yeah.
Right? I'm going to tell you the model of product ops that I really like, because I can tell you, I think all of these areas could be filled by another function, but I think there's also challenges with another function filling all these areas, right? So like skill building. I run a training business. I talk to a lot of HR L&D teams, and our conversations start with what's an outcome. How is that the person picking your training? It doesn't work, right? Now, I also talk to a lot of L&D teams that have done their homework. They've worked really closely with their product leader. So some of this is variation in HR quality. Right?
Yeah.
I'm not throwing HR under the bus. They also have big jobs. But like, is it reasonable in your organization, given what your HR department looks like, and especially what your L&D department looks like, that's learning and development for folks that don't know that term, is it reasonable for them to be able to understand the needs of your growing product team and provide L&D resources? Or does it make sense to have someone on the product team focused on that exclusively? And I'll tell you, I did a master's in learning and development, and I have a and I also taught through that master's. One of my students has a product and design background. She recently moved into a product ops roles because she now has a product and design background and an L&D background. She's in a great position
yes.
to provide skill building, capability.
And will she building. Most likely take really good care of the topic, better care than the product leadership person maybe ever would?
Yes.
Most likely.
Because the leadership person doesn't have an L&D background. They yeah. also have lots of other parts of their job. So that's just skill building. I could do that with every single one of these. Like, sure, we could have this marketing business intelligence team work with our product teams on how to instrument a product, but are we even speaking the same language? Is it the right level of granularity? Are they focused on CFO financial metrics instead of product outcome type metrics? Like, the argument that I just made for skill building, I can make for every single one of these yes. capabilities and decide we absolutely need a product ops person. I think what I don't like about product ops is I don't want a product leader to say, I'm going to bring in a product ops person to do all of these roles. I think yeah. the most, like, I think the more strategic, because nobody can be
this
good at
all
these
person,
roles.
This poor person. This right? poor person.
Like, I think the more strategic way to use product ops is to say, me as a product leader, I'm overstretched. Here's my strengths. Here's the areas I'm not as good at. What resources do I have available to me in my organization that I can help fill those gaps? Where do those resources fall short? Is there someone with a product background?
Yes.
Plus that skill set background that helps me fill the gap. Because if yeah. they don't have a product background and that skill set background, you might as well hire in the other business function. Like, it yeah. seems like what we get out of product ops is the product mindset filled, like, to fill that missing gap in the product leader.
And this, by the way, is, I think, an amazing role for people that are in a senior product management position that don't want to become a people leader.
Yeah.
Because they get bored at some time. And then what's next? And I think working on the shipyard without the people responsibility could be a smart career move for yeah. some of the product people out there that are senior product people that have done, I don't know, user research in various setups and for different products. And they really know how these things usually go. And they've done, I don't know, 0 to 1 product, and they've done cash cow mode product and stuff like that. So they have a deep understanding of product management. And now they can step up in this product operations roles and help, yeah, making the shipyard a bit better for all the teams that are working on boats and vessels and container ships.
Yeah, I think the only other thing I'll add to this is that I see product leaders ask the question, when do I need product ops?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think product ops is a role we hire for because we should have product ops. I think product ops is a strategic role we hire for to fill a specific gap.
Yes, I would agree that that's the ideal scenario.
Right? Whereas, like, I see some people frame it as like, well, I hired product managers, I hired designers, I hired engineers, I've got my data.
And now
analysts.
I need to hire my
now
product ops team.
Ops, right? Like, I don't, maybe we'll get to that point. Maybe there will be some like uniform definition. I'm not sure what that would be, because like the things we talk through, some of these things the product leader are going to be great at and they should do it themselves. And some of the things yeah. they need additional support. So I don't know, like it's so squishy, this idea, and like people
still is.
People struggle with squishy. But for anybody listening, especially if you're in product ops, I can't emphasize this enough. We have seen product ops work really effectively. We're fans when it's yes. done right.
Yes, exactly. And it's, if you look at it from the leadership perspective and keeping your shipyard in order, then I think you will find the white spots, the gaps in where you fall short. And then that's a good first implementation of a product ops role, maybe in your organization.
Okay, I know it's probably time for us to wrap up, but I'm gonna drop a grenade before we do that.
We had 19 minutes already, Teresa.
I know. I just had a thought, though, and I really think we should talk about it.
Go for it.
What if, as a product leader, the thing I like least is coaching my teams? Can I hire a product ops person to be an internal coach?
I would rather, so if that is something that you really want to do, then rather start a community of practice and allow product people to coach each other. That I saw bringing more success, and I still think you should wrap your head around coaching. By the way, it's not as hard as product leaders usually think. So you just need a pile of good questions, and you need to follow up on the things you discussed, and then you're already better off. I read plenty of things around that topic, so go find my stuff on it. But it's just like 10 good coaching questions to make your one-on-one preparations a 30 seconds thing, and then make sure you follow up on the things that you discussed in your one-on-ones. It's already way better. And on top of that, community of practice, and they should share the successes and what did not work and help each other and do job shadowing if they want to and all these kind of things. So you can delegate it, I think, back to the product team to some extent and into a community of practice. Make sure they are exposed to the outside world, meetups. That's it. But don't delegate it to a product ops person.
I would add an exception to that.
Okay.
I have seen teams have success with, first of all, a lot of teams, when they adopt Agile, they hire Agile coaches, and that is a necessary, I'm going to say, temporary role. I don't like it as a permanent role.
Yeah.
But like, I think it does make sense when you're going through this Agile transformation to have someone on your staff focused on skill building for your teams around Agile.
Yeah,
I've seen
that's true.
A number of companies have a lot of success with an internal discovery coach.
Product. Yeah, and the same with internal product coach, by the way.
Yeah. So I think I'm okay with coaching as part of the product ops role if it's a very specific skill.
Skill.
And not abdicating the role of the leader in being responsible for coaching and developing their people overall.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Good. Nothing to add. Nothing to add.
That wasn't such a big grenade.
No. We saw a line.
Thanks, Petra. This was fun.
Thanks, Teresa.